To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Are accepted in the United States, U.S. Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico. No cash access. The Bancorp Bank, member FDIC.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Playing small and fast is good, and we can also put the Sato out there with that group. And, you know, there may be an opportunity where, you know, we go big. Who knows? You know, depending on the situation in the game. So we'll work our way through that.
It's just hard not to jump in with that. It's Mully and Haw on The Score, and we're delighted to welcome in the Chicago Bulls Vice President of Basketball Operations. The season tips off Wednesday night right here on The Score, and we welcome John Paxson. John, good morning. How are you?
Morning, John.
Good morning. Doing great. How are you guys?
Do you miss being introduced with that music?
Oh, my goodness. It's been a quarter of a century. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
it's a long time.
I miss being young, too. So this is a different feel to the season. We talk about things getting started here, and, you know, it's a really balanced team. You got you've done a really amazing job of kind of producing a core, and now you've brought in a lot of veteran guys. It looks like a really nice blend, and I love the idea that Jim Boylan, who we heard there, is talking playoffs, and there's no shying away from you know, and it would be a monumental task given where you guys were, but that seems to be the goal, and maybe a realistic one.
Well, it should be the goal. Neither Jim or I or anyone, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago would have expressed that as a goal. But I think given the fact that, you know, a lot of our young guys, we have been here for a couple of years now, specifically Zach and Lowry, we've added some real veteran leadership. I think it's good to talk that way. You know, we also have to be realistic in that we're still a really young group. You know, we're the second youngest team, I believe, in the league, you know, in terms of age. But I told the guys, you know, you can't use youth as an excuse. I think maturity is a big thing. I think even our young guys are mature individuals. And, you know, take Wendell Carter, for example. I mean, he's a young guy, but he went through, you know, he played a year at Duke. He's been through pressure and those type of things. So I think maturity is an important thing. So, yeah, I think all of us like our roster. I mentioned on Media Day that, you know, in 2 years, we've really completely turned the roster over. In that clip, you heard Jim talk about different ways we can play. I do think that given some of the versatility, we'll probably play small at times, and we're, you know, we're still missing you know, a piece in terms of, you know, our wing depth with Chandler Hutchinson, who's been out the whole preseason. When we get him back in the fold, you know, he gives us a little bit of a different element too. So, you know, on paper, it's all good. We're 0-0, so everybody's, you know, feeling good about things. But, you know, we've got to come together on the floor, and that's always the biggest thing as a team.
John, you guys have been fun to watch in preseason. I think you watched the way the Bulls have played with pace. You're shooting a lot of three-pointers. It seems as if there's a different approach than maybe we heard from Jim and saw at times at the end of last season or sort of since he took over. What triggered the evolution in his thinking offensively, if anything did? And do you think that's an overstatement? Because it does seem like this is a different approach to offensive basketball.
Well, some of it's personnel related. I do believe that. You know, and again, in defense of Jim, when he got the job in December last year, you know, you're just trying to create a culture more than anything, or an environment that you know shows you're in a leadership position. And you know, so he was trying to reinforce some things early on last year, attacking the rim, getting to the basket, playing downhill. But candidly, our personnel last year with the injuries that we had, you know, we were trying to play with, you know, with guys that weren't necessarily shooters, that type of thing. The encouraging thing for me when I watched our team in preseason is the quality of the three that we were able to get. You know, you just don't want to be a team that indiscriminately comes up and shoots contested threes. It's through the philosophy of, you know, finding gaps in the defense, penetrating, kicking, and Jim's really emphasized the extra pass to the open shooter. So I think it's the quality of three that you get. And then the guys got knocked them down. And I believe we shot 37% in the preseason. But, you know, even at that, preseason is always difficult because, and especially in this day and age, you know, most teams now play four or five preseason games. A lot of teams don't play their lineups and combinations, but I think Jim had the right approach in terms of, you know, when we play, we're going to, you know, play our units together and we're going to try to find what works. And, he's been really good in that regard. So yeah, it's, we have a positive feeling, but you know, it's difficult in this league. We start with 4 out of 5 on the road, 5 out of 7 on the road. We're going to have to be prepared. And, as I mentioned on media day, we've got some young guys that need to step up into that area of contributing to wins now. So, you know, we'll see where that goes.
It's interesting to look at the way that, you know, when you start projecting what the season's going to be, you look at what happened last year and you think, oh boy, that's a lot to ask. But you were really banged up. You were hurt again last year. You've had a real hard time getting all of this this group on the floor together. And now you go into a season where you're relatively healthy. How do you maintain that, John? And is that the biggest challenge?
It is a challenge. And you know, we've been saying it for 2 years, and you hate saying it because people always say, well, that's an excuse and that type of thing. But we literally have not been able to put out the group we've wanted to put out. And that's really from my seat and from Gar's seat, we'd love to see us be healthy so we can see what we do have and how they can come together. The one thing that Jim has talked a lot about to our group here through the September and the preseason is how much change there has been in the league this off season and, you know, how many really good players have moved to other teams. And so the point being that the team that comes together soonest maybe has a little advantage, and that's what we're trying to get to, but we have to be healthy in order to do that. And, you know, the statistics tell us that last year we missed the most games due to injury of any team in the league. And, you know, part of that was, you know, Denzel Valentine had surgery, missed the whole year, but we had some real key players out. And there was, you know, when Lowry was out early in the season and missed his games, he comes back and all of a sudden Wendell's out for the year after he falls and, you know, has the surgery on his thumb. So I want you guys to know, there's no excuses in injuries and it was just a disjointed year. But for us to evaluate and see what we really have in terms of these young players and the group that we've assembled, we have to be healthy. Every team says that, and they should. But that's the big challenge, and hopefully, you know, we can, you know, we have some guys in our roster that we'll really look at in terms of minutes that they play to try to keep them healthy and available for games, and you know, we'll go from there. But that is a big challenge.
John, Coby White looks electric. What do you envision his role? How does he fit into the structure of this offense? Or is he better when the offense maybe is less structured?
Well, the one thing that Jim's been trying to do in preseason is get these guys to play faster, obviously, but to read defenses and make plays by reading what's available. And that's often hard for young guys, but Kobe's been really good. And I think the one, you know, Jim's not labeling him as a point guard, a shooting guard. He's a scorer. And, when you look at a team and how you're trying to construct it, you obviously need some balance. And right now, when we look at Kobe coming off the bench with our second group, Chris Dunn's been good in preseason and, you know, his influence on the defensive end. I think the two of those playing together, both Kobe and Chris, has been a positive for us. We want that to carry over into the regular season. So I think Kobe right now is in a very good role for himself. And the great thing about him is he's a positive kid. He accepts his role, I think he'll see as this goes on that this puts him in a position to be successful. There's not too much pressure on him, any of those type of things. So, he's been everything we hoped he would be. But, you know, again, I've seen a lot of young kids in this league, and, the regular season comes upon you, and it's a little bit different. But the one thing we say internally as we've watched him is that he's a fearless kid. He really doesn't, he kind of accepts the challenge in the league, and, he plays fearlessly, and that's a good quality to have as a young kid.
Thomas Satoransky is going to be starting for you, and boy, he had a great offseason. He played very well for his country in the world stuff. Is he better than we thought? I mean, you obviously signed him for a reason, but he's moving right in and is an interesting player.
Yeah, I think he's a really good complementary piece, and again, it goes back to how you're trying to construct your team. And so, you know, we have a guy at the two guard position, Zach LaVine, who is just a dynamic scorer. He Zach can walk out on the floor given his talent, athletic ability, and score 20 a game. That's just who he is. So, you know, getting a guard next to him that is a very good complementary piece. The thing that I think is underrated about Thomas and maybe some guards in that position in general is, you know, are you willing to give up the ball, not have to pound it? Can you move without the ball off of a score like Zach? And Tomas can do that. So, and again, he's one of these players that gives us some versatility out on the floor because he's got size, he's 6'6", he's got some length. And, you know, in that earlier clip, that's what Jim was talking about. I can envision us throwing a lineup out there of, you know, Satoransky, Dunn, and Kobe for, you know, stretches where, you know, we have some playmakers, some shooters, and that type of thing. So, so that's a good thing. And so I think it's the balance of the starters. You know, when you can have Sato with, not only Zach but Otto and Lowry and Wendell, how that unit comes together and how they play. That'll be a big part of you know whether we have success or not.
John, Zach LaVine's in for a big year. You expect him to be probably, you know, competing for an all-star spot and leading your team and scoring and doing a lot of things that we're used to seeing him do. A lot of conversation this preseason about the mid-range jumper and how he was told not to take as many by the analytics department and how he wants to take more mid-range jumpers. What has been that conversation like, and how important is that to his game?
Well, first of all, he's never told by our analytics department not to take twos. I think that's it's part of the league now. You know, there's such a there is an influence in the analytics that show certain things. But the point that Jim has made to our entire team is that mid-range shots, mid-clock that are contested, are just not good shots in our game. When you have maybe 14, 15 on the clock and you come up at the free throw and you're challenged, that's just not a good shot. You still have time to move the ball, get penetration, and find a better shot. So that's what Jim has been working on and preaching to our team. But, you know, the reality in our game is that, and I think you saw it last year in the playoffs a lot of the time, and, you know, how Kawhi was so good when needed. He wasn't always shooting threes or getting to the rim. He was pulling up at the free throw line and making shots. So there has to be a balance in all of this. And but there's no getting around the fact that the three-point shot, I believe, I don't have the stats in front of me, but last year, three-point attempts went up the most they've gone up in years. I mean, it was something along the lines of 7 or 8 per game more than they had the previous year, which is, you know, enormous. And I believe the trend continued in preseason. So there's no getting around that. But I think that's as much a product of the bigs in our league now are more perimeter oriented. They're more skilled. They can shoot the ball. The spacing and driving component of our game is it's just a part of it now. So you see more teams, you know, doing things with spacing and getting to the corners and that type of thing. So this has evolved over time. But the 2-point shot still has a place in our game, especially when the game's on the line and you're trying to grind out scores. teams are going to run you off the three-point line or not let you get a dunk or a layup. So that you have to be able to make shots in that mid-range, whether it's off the pull-up. And that's what the great players do. They're able to make contested shots over a defender when the game's on the line.
I like what you said, John, about figuring out a way to play together and that being the key to the league. You've added five new players. You know, you can argue Otto Porter Jr. is kind of a new player because he came in late last year. And, of course, you know, Wendell Carter, we haven't really seen him enough to know who he is. So how long does that process take, and how quickly must this happen, and will that help set the expectations?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, you never know the time frame. Again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. Let's stay healthy and let's see what we have. I think Jim's done a really good job of getting these guys to buy in. We've had a really good – this really started in September. You know, it's not mandatory for players to show up until training camp starts. Jim got complete buy-in from our guys in September to come in, voluntary workouts. And they came in as a group, and so they had a head start on things. And what I've seen is I've seen in practice, we've had some really, really good practices. I haven't always seen that translate into the preseason games. You know, we've had stretches, as you guys have noticed, we've had stretches that, where it's been very good. But, you know, when you sit down and you watch after a game, you see the small things where there's so much improvement that's out there for our team. And we need these young guys to believe that they can put it together, that part's, you know, in a lot of ways on them coming together. So, but I like our group and I think that, when they enjoy playing together, when the ball moves and we had a game in preseason where I think we had 38 assists and, when those things happen and guys see that they can play together, there's a trust that forms, and that's a hard thing. So let's see where we go. We're optimistic in terms of what we have on paper, but you know, this is a competitive business, and you got teams and players that have all tried to improve themselves this off season. And, you know, we're going to hit it tomorrow night in Charlotte, who, you know, everybody's discounting them, but they got pro players out there and it's on their home floor in an opening night game. And we got to be ready to compete. And I think that's the bottom line. Jim has, and when we talked this summer, the biggest thing is we want our guys to compete at a high level. I think when you compete hard every night and, you know, you just keep grinding out every day you're out there, then good things will happen for you. And we got a leader in Jim who preaches that every day and works these guys hard, but he's compassionate to who they are as individuals and you know, has formed great relationships with them. So we'll see. We get to find out tomorrow night.
Good luck, John.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it very much.
That is John Paxson, the Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Chicago Bulls.
It's exciting. I mean, the Bulls are fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to it. Yeah, looking forward to tomorrow night.
They looked really good.
They did.
That last preseason
game. Kobe White, he's electric.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
He is electric. Mully and Haw will bring in Dan and Connor next on The Score.
Breaking news on The Score is powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning? Maybe he never bundled home and auto, and he's doomed to suffer an eternity without the savings.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
What was that wind-like sound? Oh, right, the wind.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Kids, KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
For the past 2 decades, over 500,000 donors have trusted Cars for Kids with their cars. Now we can help with your property donations, too. Donate any kind of real estate at carsforkids.com and receive a tax deduction for the full appraised value.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids.
donate your car today.
Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs?